So, do you pull yourself out of the bed in the morning and just dread the daily grind that stands before you, wondering if there is more to life than this daily routine? What if the key to unlocking a richer, more vibrant life has been with you all along, waiting to be set free through the simple act of creation? Welcome to today's episode, where we dive into the boundless world of creativity as a tool not just for artists, but for everyone to create a thriving life. Grab some coffee, get comfortable, and let's settle in and create a more beautiful world together. Hello, creative soul. Welcome to the Beauty Hunters Podcast. Are you feeling stuck? Not having enough time, money, or energy to create? Do you want to make a difference in this world with your creativity, but you feel exhausted by life's responsibilities and void of inspiration? You are not alone.
We are your hosts, Jonathan and Michelle Rose, fellow creative souls who understand the struggle. We once lived a life consumed by the daily grind, leaving us feeling empty and dead inside. And that all changed when we discovered the mindsets and skills that allowed us to stay in creative flow and infuse everyday life with creative passion. We are here with strategies and inspiration to help you fill your daily life with vibrant creativity.
If you are ready to thrive and take your creativity to the next level, then grab your coffee, tune in, and let's create a more beautiful world together. Okay, beauty hunters, before we get into today's episode, I've got one small favor to ask. If what we're doing here has inspired you or helped you feel more equipped in your creativity, please share this with a friend. We all know someone who could use a little creative boost, and your share just might be the nudge that they need. So let's get back into it and talk about today's topic.
All right, so today we are in Dallas getting ready for an art show at the Arboretum. And what's really fun about the Arboretum is it is, you know, full of all this beauty already that we can behold. And it's going to spark all this creativity walking around and seeing all the artists. But one thing I've been thinking about is creativity isn't just about paintings or masterpieces or writing a novel. You know, it's often too about finding new ways to approach your problems, invigorating those daily routines, and finding ways to connect with the people around you. And so it's about seeing not only what the world is, but what it can be. And, you know, Jonathan and I this week, we also found that creativity was the antidote to our fast-paced and busy life that we've been building.
Yeah, that's what I love about what we do. You know, we were at a art show in San Antonio last weekend and then an art show in Dallas this weekend. And it's only like a 4-hour drive between the two, but we made it last all week long. And we just hopped around from different places. But you know what? While we did that, we did have a lot of fun conversations with different people, just taking the slow road, taking our time, getting through life, and cultivating just that daily routine of slowing down, finding the beauty that's around us, engaging in other people's stories and interests and their view of the world. It just becomes a fun way to stay inspired, to stay engaged. And that's what we're talking about today, is not being stuck on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Not just being stuck in this daily grind, this daily routine that you dread because it's so life-sucking and devoid of anything new or fresh or creative.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I've been on autopilot and it wasn't that I dreaded it or that I thought it was life-sucking. Sometimes I don't even know I'm on autopilot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
when I was a young mom raising my kids, I was on autopilot, but I enjoyed every bit of it. So I think today can be for both. The people who are on autopilot and it is sucking their life dry, but also the people who are on autopilot and they're like on the interstate and then they get home and they go, wait a second, how did I even get here? You know,
yeah,
I didn't dread the drive. I just didn't know where I was going.
That's
right?
True. But...
And so I do think today, you know, we need to realize that creativity isn't just about a select few get to have it. It really does get to belong to all of us. It's just not all of us exercise that muscle and it becomes atrophied. You know, when I get in a car, I turn on my GPS is the first thing I do. So I'm on autopilot. I just do what it says. And then I go when I put on a song or a audible book, right? And then again, I'm on autopilot. It's telling my brain what to do. I don't ever have this moment where I literally go, I'm in the car and I'm going to choose my time, you know?
Like, yeah. Or there's a lot of days I get it, you know, I don't have a commute because my workshop is on our property, right? My commute is a 50 yard walk to my workshop.
Except for the commutes but, to the art shows.
Right. No, but I get into the workshop and sometimes I don't pick my playlist. I just turn on Amazon Music and let the algorithms feed me songs.
Right.
Based on what I've listened to in the past. Or I'll just be on my lunch break and just popping onto YouTube and I just click something that comes up and I'm not like searching for anything in particular. I'm just looking for something just to fill in the void while I'm eating some food.
Right.
You know,
the microwaved food that's on autopilot.
That's autopilot, you know, right there. So I love my life and I love those moments, but you know, there's definitely some voids that are just being passed over and not filled with any kind of intentionality.
That's right.
And those are opportunities to keep the creative muscles strong, because this world, if you just go on autopilot and go after whatever the world is pushing towards you, primarily through our electronic devices, all of our feeds, all of our things, our directions, our entertainment, all the stuff is just given to us by the algorithms. We don't have to think. I've often called my phone my prosthetic brain. And you know what happens to my real brain when I use my prosthetic brain?
It turns off.
It turns into mush. It atrophies. It becomes weak. So can you imagine being on a trip and you're far from home? You're in a deserted, possibly inhospitable place. Suddenly, the network goes down. Maybe two GPS satellites crash into each other in outer space. I don't know. Use your imagination. Anyways, all of a sudden, you don't have GPS. You're far from home. And you don't even know how you got here, let alone how do I get back home? You've been on autopilot, not just for the trip, but for years of your life. And so you don't even know how to navigate anymore. You don't know how to use those muscles to orient and to get yourself back to where you want to be, how to get unstuck. You have to start learning a whole new way of being in your environment when all of a sudden you're forced off of autopilot. Like, just think about that scenario for a second, how reliant we are on the GPS.
I don't have to think very far about that because I get panicked when I get lost. There's been many times where, you know, once GPS came out on the market, let me just tell you, I was bad at directions then. And Jonathan bought me one when we had no money. I mean, he scraped money together and bought me one knowing that it was going to be the best gift ever, because I was always calling him going in tears, crying like, I don't know where I'm at. He'd be like, okay, tell me the cross streets. I'm like, I don't know. I can't see, you know, And he would help walk me home. And here's the thing, you know, Jonathan, over his lifetime, he went out and played. He learned the like topography and the trees and the different things in his life, right? And so I didn't go outside and play very much. I was, you know, doing chores and doing homework and doing all the studios things. So I never learned how to look around my environment, take it in and learn how to get around. And so I've been on autopilot when it comes to directions for a very long time.
Yeah, well, so the reason we're talking about this is because I think our creativity is the same way. If we live our world through autopilot and we have our sense of curiosity, our sense of fascination, our engagement with wonder, all just fed to us by an algorithm, our brains atrophy. Just like we don't know how to orient ourselves and navigate if we don't have our GPS, we don't know how to be creative if we just let the world feed to us a sense of wonder and fascination and curiosity.
I mean, honestly, it's a little bit scary if you think about it, although it's also exciting to hear science has moved this far. But they're talking about putting chips in your brain to put you on more autopilot, right? You know, Tesla cars, you're now able to get in a car and turn off your brain completely and just let it take you somewhere. All you have to do is enter the destination. And that's, I think, step one here.
That's what's scary about it, is because you should be paying some attention and not fully trusting those things.
That's true, right? And so here's the thing. When you are going on autopilot, if you know your destination, you know, that can be somewhat helpful in the case of driving a Tesla car. But what if you don't know where you are, you don't know where you're going, and you don't know how to even think about where you're going? You know, that's kind of where we're talking today about creativity, because half of us, we're living unfulfilled lives or just lives that don't have any meaning. You may not feel unfulfilled. You just don't even know that you're not being fulfilled, right?
Right.
And so it's like, We have to know where we're starting, where we're going, and where we want to end up, you know, because a lot of us, we don't even know how to dream anymore. We've been on autopilot so long, we don't even know what our dreams are.
So what do you do when all of a sudden you realize this isn't working? I've got unfulfilled desires. I want to be somewhere other than where I'm at right now, and I don't know how to get there. Don't have the skills or instincts to navigate to where I want to go. How do we get from A to B when that's what's going on?
Yeah, and I think it's helpful when you ask that question, like to put it into some type of setting, right? Like this could be you in your work life, you in your family life, you in any, where you are in your health, right? You can put this almost in any setting of your life that you want to check in with and see what's going on. But I think the first thing you have to do is completely admit that you're lost.
Yep, totally. Because if you don't think you're lost, you're not going to look for any direction other than what you're already on.
Yeah.
You're going to keep going on autopilot.
Well, and I think part of recognizing that you're lost is you got yourself there. You know,
yeah.
So sometimes you have to find a help to get out, you know?
Yeah. So, and that's an important step, just to admit that, hey, I'm lost. Hey, I don't have the instincts or the skills, or I'm missing something to navigate to where I want to be. I don't know how to get there. But so the second step is to just learn, actually find out how to orient and find your direction again. You know, I've spent a lot of time hiking and know a little bit about reading maps and orienteering unfamiliar terrain. So to bring in some of those lessons, there's kind of some key things that you have to find your way out if autopilot's not an option, right? First thing is you've got to know where north is, right? If you can't find your compass bearing of north, south, east, west, then you don't know what direction you're pointing, what direction you're heading, okay? So you've got to be able to figure out at least that much, okay? The second step is to understand the area that you're in. Look at the topography, look for some landmarks or some key features. Maybe it's a river, maybe it's a mountaintop in the distance. Something in that topography can give you a clue as to where you're at and what direction you need to go. So if you have a compass bearing, you know where true north is. If you can identify a couple of landmarks in your area, that's enough to start going in some kind of direction. So how does that relate to creativity? Okay, how do we find true north for our creative selves? Well, I think we have to look at our own desires in our own history to begin doing that orient, finding our way creatively.
In my pathway of creativity, you know, I've been on a long journey of trying to help women. And so it started out with health coaching because I had my own health issues that I was trying to work through. And then it went to helping them in the beauty arena and in fitness and in fashion and all the things. So if I were to look at that topography, I could start seeing a thread of all the creative ventures and passions I've taken along the way, thinking they were just for myself, but they were actually training and experiences that led me to where I'm at now. And then you get that clarity of, I've been actually on a journey this whole time, heading in a direction. I just didn't know where. And now I know where my north is, and I can go there.
Yeah. So if I was on the outside looking in on your scenario, let's say as a creative coach, and you're just unpacking your history and your skills.
And that's the topography.
Right. That's the topography and the landmarks. And then you tell me a desire.
To help women.
I want to help women become their beautiful, vibrant selves. Well, you've got some topography, some landmarks, and a true north. You can start a creative direction from those elements.
That's right. And so that brings clarity to where you're at. And you know, the next step, if I were to add on to what you just said, you know, it often when we're on a road trip, if you can get to a gas station, you can buy a map or you can, you know, talk to somebody.
Ask the old timer who go, well, you go past this tree on the left and go past that store on the right and then turn by old Miss Evans' house up on the corner, you know.
That's right. And you bring up a very good point, right? When you hire a guide or hire a coach. So a map, it's not going to tell you where the road closures are or where there's been flooding. Like, we just recently experienced a GPS hiccup where there had been flooding, you know?
Yeah, and the road was closed.
Yeah. And so when you hire a guide or a coach, they know the topography of where you're going. They know the barriers and the things you have to overcome.
Yeah, or to bring it into like a hiking wilderness kind of thing. The map can tell you there's a river there, but the guide can tell you that this point on the river is shallow enough to cross.
Right.
Right. The map doesn't tell you that. That comes from experience. And that's where you can make the mistakes yourself, or you can find creative community who already knows some of the pitfalls and can guide you in those directions.
And I actually think this step is really, really, really valuable in this current season of life, because people can easily go get their map or GPS from AI. They can get it from an app. They can get this information from all over the place. But when you hire a coach, you hire a guide, you can have it customized exactly for what you need, you're going, because that guide, you tell them what your true north is, where you've been, and they're able to literally map it out exactly the way. I could say, I've broken my foot, and so I'm hobbling on crutches. Which pathway is the right way for me? Whereas the GPS or the map, it's going to take me on a pathway for someone who's got to like climb rocks and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
So true. All right. So I know what you might be thinking. You're like, Jonathan, Michelle, you're talking about orienteering with maps and hiking rough terrain and all this different stuff. What's the point? My GPS does work. Autopilot does work for me. I can get by just fine with Google Maps and AI and algorithms telling me what to do. I'm not suffering right now. What would you say to that person, Michelle?
Well, to be honest, what I would say is all of that stuff, it's really working towards productivity, probably. And you might be seeing a lot of immediate results, but let's look at the heart. What is happening inside? Where are you feeling fulfilled in that area? You might be actually accomplishing something. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love accomplishing and marking off a to-do list, but at the end of the day, where is your life? Where's the meaning? How are you able to say, when you go to your deathbed, and I've heard this saying before, when you go to their deathbed, people never said they wish they had worked more, done more, whatever. They wished they had spent it with their family. They wished that they had gone and chased after that dream.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, having been in the professional art world for over a decade now, I've had a chance to talk with a lot of artists. And there's a theme comes up consistently when I ask other artists, what's their motivation behind their art and their creativity? Most of them comes down to some form of connection. And that connection is fostered and found through their creativity, through their curiosity and the skills that they've honed in their craft. But it all comes down to they're trying to make some kind of human connection, expressing some form of the human condition through the medium that they're pursuing in their craft. You can't learn that from autopilot. You can't foster that from autopilot. That has to come from the heart. Those are the muscles that atrophy when you live your life on autopilot.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is too, you know, we talk about creativity as if it's this one thing. And I know I mentioned it earlier, but it's not just about a painting or writing a book or some kind of masterpiece. You know, it's funny because Jonathan and I have these conversations all the time. When he is out making his drums and something happens that goes wrong, later on, that skill that he learned and how he fixed it will help him somewhere else in life.
Yeah, I think the big difference between a master and a novice is the master has made more mistakes than the novice has even made attempts.
That's right. You know, but when we're looking, let's just look at real life we're talking about. Let's not derailed off of art, but let's just look at creativity and what it can do for you, the benefits of it. You know, it truly can be a stress relief when you know that you have the ability to find solutions within yourself. You know, if I knew how to find true north and the topography around me, I would not be stressed out if I got lost.
Yeah.
So it can be a stress relief. And in that, it also can be mental health relief, you know, because you don't feel overwhelmed or stuck where you're at, you know you have the ability to get yourself unstuck. It's good for problem-solving skills. And in the end, there's just so much personal satisfaction when you look back at, I did that.
Yeah.
I was able to achieve that.
Yeah, yeah. I think most meaningful breakthroughs and innovations in life come through some expression of creativity. And that's the benefit. So today we've talked about admitting that you're lost, your need for creativity, how to find your true north, identify some of the landmarks and topography of your creative journey, what that points to, and how it can get you back on the map to being home. And by home, I mean alive in your own skin, expressing your truest creative self. And so today we're just kind of outlining a journey that we want you, our audience, to join us on. We're going to start unpacking a little bit deeper of what it looks like to fully go on this journey of orienting yourself towards creativity and finding yourself back to your truest creative self and all that it can unlock in your life.
Yeah, so over the next episodes, we want you to expect that you'll be able to uncover practical ways to weave creativity into all those areas of your life and in your day. And so whether you're a seasoned artist or someone who hasn't picked up a paintbrush since grade school, this journey that we're going to take you on over the next couple of weeks is for you.
Yeah, so stay tuned because we're going to have a very intentional dive on a solid framework for uncovering your most vibrant creativity. Thank you for joining us on the Beauty Hunters podcast. I hope this episode has encouraged you. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with other creatives in your life? And please leave a quick written review on Apple Podcast. Your reviews keep us inspired and help more people discover the podcast. Okay, time for us to hit the road. We're off to our next art show. We'll meet you back on Monday for another episode.
Until our next encounter, always remember that your creativity will make the world a more beautiful place.